Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, joining me today, and I'm very happy that they are Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton,
howdy,
and
Steve.
Mylan Yurkovich.
Hi, Mylan.
Hi, Alice, and hello, Steve. It's always fun to be with the two of you.
Now, I'm just going to tell you that anybody getting out of elementary school who has not studied arithmetic would be making a really, really bad mistake. Life would not add up if that is the way it was for you. An adult in a relationship that hasn't read How We Love is like a kid from elementary school not knowing math. Because when you read How We Love, things start to add up in your relationship. They start to make sense. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that's me. Oh my goodness, that's us. And it is one amazing experience. Now, I want you to get the book, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and I want you to come to Intimacy in Marriage, October the 7th. That is in 9 days in Dallas, Texas. That's what we're going to be talking about. And it is going to be a life-changing experience for many people who can't stand each other. They hate each other. They don't want to be around each other. Some we've had restraining orders, couldn't even be in the same room. Mylan, why do you think intimacy in marriage changes so many folks? Their whole direction and trajectory changes. Why is that?
Well, in Philippians 1:9, the Apostle Paul says, "I pray that your love would abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." And he tells us we need to become more knowledgeable and discerning as to what love really is. Love is an action towards someone. And so if I can gain knowledge and discernment, I will be a better lover of somebody else. And it is the Greek word agape, which means I will treat them or I will act in a way that is caring toward them with their best interests at heart. And our early experiences that shaped our brains, called attachment, those early attachment experiences don't always produce someone who is able to be knowledgeable and discerning about loving someone else or knowledgeable and discerning about themselves as they look in a mirror as to ask, how am I in relationship? So the goal is for us to get really get better at learning to love and then learning why we're failing, because the attachment styles are not successful in relationship until we begin to do new things that move us into a secure attachment.
It's so amazing how you don't even know this, but your home was just full of chaos, or maybe there was somebody that was just angry and you thought that's the way those kind of people are. And then you grow up and you don't realize you are being impacted by that thing that you didn't understand that
that's
gave
right.
you strange feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to gain some insight. Well, what does that do? Well, for one thing, you start to think, maybe I'm not weird. Maybe they were weird. And then you say, maybe I could heal from this. Maybe I could get better, unlike what they did. Changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Alice, you have a thought here?
It just helped me to learn from Mylan and Kay that none of us naturally have secure attachment style. We all come into life and grow up then with a broken attachment style. And Jesus is the model for secure attachment.
Right.
And we all have to grow into becoming more like him.
Right.
And How We Love helps us to do that. Intimacy in Marriage helps us to do that.
Boy, I could have said it that fast a few moments ago. That was good.
If you want to read a story or two about people that are not securely attached, the Bible is full of them.
Ooh-wee.
Full of those stories. Because God didn't see some need to edit reality. We do. We edit it all the time. Mm-hmm. Try to make it look better than it is.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are very much back here at New Life Live, and we would love for you to have a copy of 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. Now, why would we want to create a book like this? Well, because it's so prevalent in the Christian community. Jesus, I don't know if you've noticed it, Jesus went to a lot of trouble for us not to live in shame. So why aren't you taking the invitation that Christ's payment for your sin was on the cross, and you don't need to walk around with that burden? And the sooner you get rid of the shame burden, the quicker you get back to the calling that God has on your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very prevalent reason that a lot of people are not living into the life that God called you to live. So please, gift of any amount, I will send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. You get free from shame, it's amazing what else kind of comes along with it. Anger, bitterness, resentment, all sorts of things. All right, let's go to our phones, and how about we talk with Dave? Now, Dave is calling from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and I'm really glad that you've called. Let's go right here. Dave, how are you today?
Oh, pretty good.
Okay.
Are you good?
Was there... I'm good. You good? I'm good.
Yeah.
Why in the world did you call a radio program today?
Yeah. Okay, I will try to sum it up in a very good little nutshell for you and ask a question.
Okay.
I'll give you a little bit of background. I was just, you caught me when I was doing my devotions and I was eating and I had one of these episodes of immense despair and sadness come over that happens to me a couple times a day.
Hmm.
I worked for 32 years until 2011 when I had a motor vehicle accident. I hit a snowplow head on.
Oh, boy.
Because I fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, man.
And it took me out of work and put me on disability, which greatly grieved my heart. I'm sad about that just about every day that I can't work anymore. I've been diagnosed by a psychiatrist with major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder,
okay,
and possible PTSD.
All right, so you've seen a psychiatrist.
With a clinician.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How could we help you?
Therapist.
Okay. How could we help? What do you want us to deal with?
What can I do about these episodes of deep sadness? And I also, to go along with that, every night I have a deep fear of going to sleep. I don't go to sleep until like 2-3 o'clock in the morning,
sure,
because as soon as I think about the day being over, I get a knot in my stomach and it's like I haven't accomplished anything today, even though I probably have. You know, I don't sit around. I'm constantly doing something. And in fact, yeah, to get rid of the sadness, I get up and go do something.
Okay.
Get rid of it.
I have a quick question for you, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Alice.
Okay.
How long have you seen the psychiatrist that you're seeing?
About 15 years.
15 years. When is the last time?
And he's the best in the area.
Okay. And when was the last time that he made a major adjustment on your medication?
About a year ago, they put me on Effexor. I haven't seen the psychiatrist in probably 2 years. I see his clinician.
Okay.
For a med check every month.
Yeah. So, a lot of people in the psychiatric world are brilliant about medication. They know Well, one psychiatrist I worked with there in Laguna Beach, I mean, he was up on what were the effects of the medications that he'd hear about advertised and stuff, and he knew from prescribing them and talking to other psychiatrists, they were absolutely not working on most of the people. Sometimes a pharmaceutical company will have a relationship with someone and they feel obligated to use their particular brand. All sorts of things. If I were you, I would want to see a psychiatrist. It doesn't matter if your psychiatrist is the best in the world, and usually that means a really great person, cares about people, but if the medication is being prescribed and you're having the symptoms that you're having, my desire would be, I got to go where somebody's looking at some different medication so I'm not experiencing these symptoms like this. Now, if this was a different issue, you know, if this was a different issue, I'd say, well, are you looking at that or this? But this is a diagnosis that you've had a long time, and it's a serious diagnosis, and there are new medications that come along all the time. And I would want to be working with someone who specializes in the medicating the chronically depressed, the severely depressed. That's who I'd want to work with. That's my two cents on this. Okay. Start with medication, and I'll turn this over to Mylan and see what Mylan's thinking, and then Dr. Alice.
Do you want to go first, Alice?
Okay. Thank you.
Dave, this is so sad. I am sad for you. Have you ever been in a grief recovery group?
No. I once was told that I need to grieve the loss of my job. Because I do grieve not working. I was a hard worker, and I just hate not being able to contribute.
Yes.
And it was part of my life.
Yes.
But anyway.
And it sounds like that was a lot. It sounds also. It also sounds like it was a large part of your identity.
Yes.
Yes.
It was.
But you're a very sensitive person. You want because you feel sad because you are struggling so much with your loss. You're sensitive, and that sensitivity is something that God can use in another way. I just want to say to you that there are ways God can use you apart from being a hard worker, okay? But I want to go back to grief recovery. You've lost a lot. And this immense, and you use the word immense, this immense sadness sweeps over you. And I don't blame you. It is very difficult to lose all of these things, but if we haven't really faced the grief, and that also includes anger at the loss, that's part of the grief cycle. I just would think, and then the other thing it would do, Dave, it would put you in a community of other people that have also suffered major losses. And it's just something that I think would be very important, because when you're alone and isolated, all this stuff feels deeper and deeper and worse. Alice, what are your thoughts?
Dave, I would guess that it felt like life shut down after that accident, not just the loss of the job. Has your life become small in comparison to what it used to be?
My wife, bless her heart, she's great. She's a great grandma, and she babysits four of our grandchildren 4 days a week and away from the home. And so there's a lot of time for me to have by myself. I have hobbies. I've tried hobbies of, you know, several different things. But the loss of my job, I wanted to go back. My employer their doctor would not allow it.
Dave, I'm
probably for.
I'm so proud of you that you haven't stopped trying. I hear that you've looked at other avenues of how to live life now that I don't have my previous job, and even can I go back to it? And I think it could be worthwhile to either strategize with your current therapist and or add in a coach to look at what other things are still available to me in life where I can be productive in a different way than I used to be. And then I want to add two other avenues to look into for the severity of your depression, because the multiple episodes of despair per day, that's a heavy load you're carrying.
Yes, it is.
I want you to look at ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy, and it's a form of therapy that can be effective for chronic depression when other things like medication are not having enough of an effect. EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, can also go after that fear that has been hardwired into your brain that it's not safe to go to sleep because you had a major accident when you were asleep. And so these two different forms of therapy, they get to the subconscious level where the fear has been hardwired into the brain, and they can have an effect where talk therapy sometimes is not able to reach those levels. So please take a look at that. And we have therapists that are able to do both forms within our counseling network.
That's right. And Dave, if your whole identity was work, here's something that's puzzling to me. You have an opportunity to go with your wife, presumably, and be with your grandkids, and they are life-giving. I have 10 grandkids, and when I'm with them, they just bring just great life to me. As a matter of fact, I had a 6 and a 4-year-old, 2 granddaughters, give me a manicure the other day and put a fingernail polish on my fingers, and they just thought that was the best thing in the world. It's hard to be sad when 2 kids are putting fingernail polish on their grandfather. Why don't you go with your wife at least 1 or 2 days a week to be with the grandkids?
Yeah, great question. All right, well, I'm so glad you called, Dave, and just to sum up, we've talked about medication relief. We've talked about a process that can take care of the grief. ECT, which is not usually something we tell people to seek. Special trauma therapy, a brand new belief, a belief that it can be better and will be better. Don't stop searching for the answer. We're so glad you called us. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. Mm-hmm. And
Steve, I'm
100 days from freedom from depression too.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but
it happens all the time.
Okay, yes, and I'm very saddened and impressed with Dave's isolation.
Yeah.
Isolation is deadly. Isolation is very entrapping, and that is one of the issues here that we diminish in isolation. We need a balance between alone time and people, but
that's
isolation
right.
is not good.
No, it is not. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you need some help, want to help be part of the great things that God's doing here, you call us right there. Let's go to Stacy. Stacy is calling from Terry, Florida. Listens on Sirius XM. That'd be channel 131, noon Central Time. Hi there. How are you, Stacy?
I'm good, thank you.
How can we help?
I'm struggling with my husband's addiction. We've been married for 2.5 years now, and I come into this marriage knowing the things that he does, and I was hoping that things would change. I attend church, and he does when he can, but his drinking has just gotten to where it causes him to be very angry and defensive, and it's causing him to chew tobacco, which he's been doing since he was 13, but they go hand in hand. When he finishes drinking a beer, he empties the can out and he uses it as his spit cup, and then he has other...
What's the question for us right before we go to this break, and we'll talk about it during the break? What's your question?
how am I supposed to deal with his addictions? Because I pray about it, and I take him to church, and I'm trying to lead him to Christ, but he just, after church and prayer, he continues to live in his carnal body.
All right, well, we're going to give you some help right after this. Carnal body or not, there is hope for him. You're listening to New Life Live. We love helping people. We're not about feeling better. We're about transformation, God's truth, redemptive relationship. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. So, Stacy, like many people, if we marry, things are going to get better. That actually did happen. There was a case up in Illinois where a couple got married and things got better, but it's the only one ever documented that things got better just because they got married. 99.9% knew things happened. But you knew he had problems, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you want to know what to do now, right?
Yes, sir, because I pray to God that he'll, you know, that he'll show me the way, but I just keep hearing run in my head.
Here's why sometimes we don't hear God. He's already said it to us, and we haven't done anything about it. Like in his Bible, he says, hold back those staggering toward the slaughter. He talks about not being drunk. He talks about us being kind and doing things one to another. And so he has already told you what to do. To do nothing but pray. See, you're waiting for God to do what God wants to do with you. He'll give you supernatural power, but you can't just pray. You have to do. So, what have spouses done that leads to the most success with a drinking, tobacco spitting, chewing husband? Well, they've gone to Al-Anon, and they've learned to live a separate life while he's drinking, which kind of causes the other person to rethink what they're doing. They go see an attorney, and because everything's staying the same, and they tell this person, I've seen an attorney, and I can't live with you, and so I'll be your next ex if you don't quit drinking. You have to do things that are difficult to do, and I'm very sorry for what you'll have to do. Alice, what are you thinking?
Stacy, I wonder about your history of who else in your life was an addict where you had to learn to tolerate. Say that again.
My dad.
Your dad was. And how did your mom handle his substance use?
He was a physical drinker too, so he physically abused my mother. It was really bad coming up. And my mom divorced him finally. She gave him chance after chance after chance and divorced him finally. And we've talked about divorce also, but it's like, you know, he has conviction when he goes to church, and he has conviction in his heart. I know he knows what he's doing is wrong because it affects his daughter just as well too. And she doesn't even want to come over and visit and stuff. And I know he knows what he's doing is wrong, but he continues to go back.
Well, but here's the thing. Until you make it his problem, it's going to be your problem. And until you
he let wife number two leave, and they had a child together. We don't even have children together. And he let wife number two leave, and it was due to drinks and...
Stacy, I can see why the ways he's better than your dad in his addiction make things more tolerable for you. At least he's not physical. At least he's going to church. At least he believes in God. So you do have some positive evidence that keeps you hoping that things will get better. But the Bible also tells us that hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. And in Matthew, we're told, I wouldn't be surprised if it is the Holy Spirit saying, run, because the Bible does say, if there's unrepentant sin behavior, we address it. We talk about it first. We bring a witness. We talk about it a second time. And then if it continues, then we start to separate from that sinful behavior. And so there are different layers of boundaries that we begin to add into our lives to protect our hearts from that ongoing addictive behavior. And so there are different lengths of separation that we go to. And Steve is talking about some of them. And it's that separation. It's the loss of you at some level that has the best hope of motivating your husband to do more than just going to church, because just church is not sufficient against addiction, usually.
Now, where were your friends when you were getting ready to marry this guy? Friends that knew he had a problem.
I'm actually 2 hours away from my family, and I actually met him online. So I even lost custody of my daughter at the time.
So a
to
big
his wife.
Brother.
Oh my
goodness.
Stacey.
Okay.
Mm.
So a big part of your healing is to find women where you are, not family where you are, but find other women that you can connect with, because I'm telling you, you start to marry a guy that's holding an axe, and somebody's that loves you is going to say, have you ever thought maybe he's an axe murderer? That's why he carries an axe around with him. And then you say, oh, I thought that was his razor. No, he has a beard. See, he doesn't use razor. That's an axe. That kills people. So that's what you get from friends that love you. If you don't have those friends, or you're so desperate that you just do it on your own. Now, I want you to be so desperate that you do some things that could change absolutely everything. Mylon, a final thought here for her.
Well, Stacy, when Steve shared a list of things that you might do, including seeing a lawyer, et cetera, when he was done saying that, you said, oh, wow. Because it required that you do something.
I don't think that it's going to affect him, is what scares me.
Well, it won't affect him. Basically, Stacy, you've lost the relationship you were desperately hoping for. He's not there. He's there, but he's not there. You don't have a relationship. So you don't have him now. And even though he has tender moments. And so the issue is you have to face that you don't have a marriage.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Back. We are back. Speaking of back, the backbone of New Life Ministry has been Larry Sonnenberg, and Larry is in the studio with his back. Larry, without talking back, what do you have for us here today?
Well, every man's battle coming up. The 7th, 8th, and 9th of October here in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And an attendee said this after he attended. I'm very thankful for New Life and this Everyman's Battle program. I came into the program unsure about how helpful or impactful it could be to help my life and my marriage. I'm 52 years old and never had a close male friend whom I could confide in. I leave here with 8 guys who I can truly say I am glad to have met and opened up to. I leave with the knowledge that I can contact these guys and just talk without being judged or shamed. We all have a common purpose and bond. This course has provided some very exact and helpful tools They help open my eyes and begin to take off my mask of deception to people seeing the real me.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, if you fit into any of those categories, if you've never had a male friend, if you're uncertain what this every man's battle can do for you, if you want to have some guys you can talk to about anything without shame, if you want to get exact and helpful tools, there's so many things that come out of this workshop. So I don't know what else to say, but call us. Give us a call, please.
Thousands and thousands of men walk with integrity, no shame, because they came, they made the choice, and they have lived free. And you could do that, too. It could start this weekend. I mean, the weekend of the 7th.
Yeah.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And folks,
hope you will come.
And folks, if you can support us doing this program and others, it's an incredible ministry, New Life. We see God's hand move in this ministry all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's to His glory that we do this. It's not for New Life. You know, we're glad that He's using us as an instrument in His toolbox to help make this kind of stuff happen. But I'm telling you, it operates because you give. And we just pray that you might consider giving. Say a prayer, ask Him how to give and who to give to. And we're prayerful we're going to be the top of the list.
And this show that you're currently hearing is on the radio because of your donations. This is a listener-supported show, and that's very important for you to understand. This isn't just free radio. New Life pays a lot of money per year just to be on the radio. And so that's just important to add here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mylon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really so is. If you've never given,
call
try us. It. Try it, yeah.
Please call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll tell you, it could be the beginning of changing if you have a problem, but also when your heart changes. You know, the place in the Bible that talks about well done, my good and faithful servant, that was related to what was done with finances, what was done with making good and better from what was given. So please, if you want to help us change others, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, Terry Ward, who is over our Life Recovery, sent me a story about a stripper who started attending recovery groups, and someone gave her a Life Recovery Bible, brought Christ into her recovery. She is now the recovery pastor at a Lutheran church.
Mm,
now,
wow.
How about that?
Wow.
I can only imagine some of the people coming up. Don't I know you? I mean, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, I'm so thankful that transformation, total transformation, can occur. And it begins with somebody being willing to do something they've never done before. All right, let's go to Eric from Gainesville, Texas. I was just there speaking at Granbury, Texas. What an amazing group of people there in Granbury. How you doing, Eric?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Sure. What's going on?
I believe I may have heard you speak about that baptism is not necessary, basically. And I like to basically challenge you on that.
Okay, what do you think is necessary?
Well, I think what's necessary is what Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, gave us was preach the good word throughout the nations, all the lands, and baptize them. And the same thing is said in Mark 16:16. He says that believes and is baptized is saved. The one that does not is condemned. And so,
yeah.
And if you look. Jesus Christ Himself was baptized when it seems it wasn't necessary, but that's so we kind of copy Him and also throughout Acts and all through the New Testament, people being baptized all the time. It's right away, like on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, they talked to the people and they baptized 3,000 in that one day, which you can imagine had to be.
Whoa, that's incredible. Well, let me just say this. I am baptized, but the first verse I ever memorized, it wasn't John 3:16.
It was Romans 10:9.
Right.
It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it goes on to say, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. Now, that's the first thing I memorized, and so I've never thought that baptism would get me into heaven. I thought it was like a way of joining a group and letting people know publicly what I had done. It was me surrendering to Christ and making it public to people. But there's no other condition than believing that Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sin. I believe it and I confess it with my mouth. That's where I get my belief there.
So let me ask you, what does Romans 6 say, though?
Well, it doesn't. Okay,
it says
so
that, you know, when you baptize, your sins are put to death with as light. I don't have the Bible right in front of my face. I'm actually had to pull over to draw. I just pulled.
Well, sometimes in one verse, someone might say that this end product that we love to see when you join the church or you join the other group, it might represent also all the things that led up to that, or you wouldn't be being baptized. Mylon, you've been a pastor. What are your thoughts here on this?
Well, Eric, all of the passages you quoted are accurate and true, and the baptism is a part of the Great Commission, and as well as teaching them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I am with you unto the ends of the age. If we were to create a hypothetical situation, really the question is, do you need to be baptized to be saved? If a person made a confession of faith on a deathbed and received Christ as their Savior in the hospital on their deathbed, and then they died the next moment, would they be saved?
Right.
Having not been baptized.
I would think so.
I would too.
But when God gives you the commandment to get baptized and we choose not to because it's just a certain church doesn't believe in, or just we don't want to
get. I totally agree. Eric, I'm with you. I totally agree with your viewpoint. I created the hypothetical situation to agree with Steve that it is an embracing of Christ. He's knocking at the door. We invite him to come in, pay for our sin. But you're absolutely right. Baptism is a part of the Great Commission, and that is how we recognize whether a person is saved or not. Do they have a wet head? On the day of Pentecost, the wet people were the ones they counted, you know? Really. And because 3,000 people were baptized that day. So you're absolutely right. And so I'm just saying, but to Steve's point, if for some reason I couldn't, like the deathbed, that's another story. Now, last thing I'm going to say is it is a matter of public, as Steve said, public profession, something God commands us to do. Christ said it himself, and it's an act of obedience. And then for a person not to choose to obey in baptism, to me, is a real red flag as to how devoted will they be to Christ in the long run.
I totally agree with that it could be, or it could be that someone's traumatized over water and going under, and they just can't imagine that would happen. All sorts of reasons, but I really do believe that just like the thief on the cross went to heaven that day. But as you're saying,
maybe
there,
it rained
too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but as you're saying, if you really believe what Christ has done, you would want to be baptized.
Yeah.
In most every case.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Eric, just wanted you to know at the break we were talking about, we really appreciate you calling and wanting to get that right for people. It's something you're concerned about, and you know, when you hear somebody say you don't have to be baptized, like it causes me to wonder, well, didn't that get followed up with, well, you wouldn't have to be baptized, but you have to wonder why somebody wouldn't want to be baptized who's come into the faith. But I hope that we've cleared up a view, and maybe, just maybe, we've helped somebody there. I want to send you the best-selling men's study Bible ever, and it is the Every Man's Bible. And so I'll send that to you, Eric, and I'm really glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, need a Bible, need a book, you want to support some of these great things that are happening, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Tiana in from Tacoma. Tiana from Tacoma. I like that. Is that right, Tiana from Tacoma?
Yes.
And, yeah, we are. You're our final caller here, and so how could we help you? Glad you called.
My question, just for a backstory, me and my husband, he was intoxicated and in a blacked out state of being 2.7 blood alcohol content. He strangled me almost to death, and I called 911, and he's in the military, and I just recently found out that he's told his family, so his dad and his mom, a fabricated version of events. And I just needed to know, how do I move past the betrayal that I feel in regards to what he told his family?
Well, I don't think that's the big deal here, because a person that can hold that much alcohol, a person that blacks out, that is an alcoholic moving into or in the final stages of alcoholism. So why don't we deal with that? Because when he stops drinking and starts recovery and develops character, he's going to come to you and beg that you forgive him for that.
Yes.
So what have you done to help him stop drinking?
He's actually stopped on his own cold turkey.
Yeah, but, yeah. Okay, so then, but he's never gotten into recovery, right?
Well, he's going to a meeting group.
Okay.
For violence caused by alcoholism. Hmm.
Okay. Did he do that on his own, or was he mandated to do that?
That one was mandated.
And you call the police?
I did during the incident. Before
good
the incident
you.
Happened, he wasn't going.
Yeah, good
anything,
for you. Good for you that you called the police.
Tiana, has he ever expressed humility, regret, remorse to you directly?
It was mild, if that makes sense. I know he was trying to figure out what actually happened. Even though, like, for example, my voice was very, you know, my vocal cords were strained. So I was very, you know, I sound very damaged. And, I mean, he hasn't, you know, wept or shown, you know, dramatic feelings towards it.
Does he deny that it's as bad as you say it was?
No. And that's where I got frustrated, because it's like, well, why tell me you understand and, you know, you see why I called the cops, but then you'll tell your family, you know, I don't think that she went too far and this and that. And
so, Tiana, I think it's a sign that he's dipped his toe into recovery, but he's not yet fully committed to the process. It's one thing to acknowledge partly to you. But he's minimizing what he did to people outside of the marriage, to his family. And so you're right, it is another layer of betrayal, but I'm sure it's one in a line of betrayals in addition to being attacked almost to the point of death. So how you respond to it is twofold. One is deciding how to protect yourself if your husband is going to continue to minimize what he did and be emotionally unsafe, if not physically unsafe, around you. So you'll have to also ask him to increase his level of participation in recovery. The men's group is good. It's insufficient. He would also need to add individual therapy. Couples therapy will be a necessary part of the process if you decide to continue with each other. And then your own recovery. I think of even our Restore weekend that we have. You'll need help and support to deal with the betrayal, no matter what he does with his recovery.
True. Mylon, the final comment here before we have to go.
Tiana, he has betrayed you at multiple levels, like Steve and Alice have already said. And everything that Alice just said is what I was going to say. You need multiple levels of support. And it is in that, especially couples therapy, that, and you need to require that of him to stay in the relationship. We need to be in couples therapy. Someone that deeply understands history. Your husband's in the military and he's violent. And there's a reason why he's in the military, and it may tie into the violence that he is showing you.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that that's always the case. I'm saying there is a rigidity in the military that he might be trying to make the pain that he feels go away, but that's probably historical pre-military, and I would want to know, why does he minimize my story? Why would you want to soften that in front of your family? What are you trying to protect? That's the biggest question.
It is a horrible betrayal
when
you're abandoned for the family to make yourself look better. I mean, they make themselves look better. Very, very tough.
Well, you can't look. You cannot look weak in the military.
No.
That's just one of the codes there. Have to be strong.
Yeah. I'll send How We Love and Take Your Life Back. I hope that those are going to be helpful to you. And I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible to give to him, because it can change everything. You've heard us talk about the event Lumina. Some of the things are selling out. So if you want to have a choice of when you go, November 3rd, 4th, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about it. Or go to newlife.com, click on the Lumina banner. Lumina is where women rise together to thrive in the power of God's Word. It's all about truth and women rising in that truth and making a difference and finding fulfillment and meaning. We're so excited about it. Jen Wilkin, one of the great Bible teachers. Lauren Green McAfee is, she's just a dynamic communicator, heart for God and the truth. Nicole C. Mullen is going to teach and sing. Few could ever come close to Nicole C. Mullen. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the Lumina banner. We would love to see you at Intimacy in Marriage on October the 21st. And, of course, the Early Birdie special goes away October the 7th. And that's the day that Every Man's Battle is in Orange County. Why continue to do the things that bring shame to you and others when you can be free? And women, many times men only do what they're required to do by their wife. Require him to go, please. We love you. We care about you. I love Mylon. Love Alice. All of you. We care about you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.